We've talked a great deal about what the in Christ position is, and we've talked about the oracle, and we've talked about salt, the fruit of being that. That's the fruit of being the in, being in the in Christ position. There's one more that we didn't talk about, but before we get to the wrapping it up. And that's, we started to talk about a little bit, but that's light. So let's go see what we can find out about light. Go to 2 Samuel 23.
Samuel.
Huh? What? What did you say?
You accidentally said Samuel.
Second Samuel 23, I think. Yeah, these are the last words of David just before he died. So start in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 23. Well, that's what it says right there. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even as a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although to make it not to grow, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. So he saw this mystery person of God to be as the light of the morning when the sun ariseth. So there are many other references, but we're not going to go through all of them. So let's now go back to Matthew 5. And what we're trying to see here is that the light is Jesus Christ, and that light shineth. It shines only in the in Christ position, only where the oracle is, only where the salt is. So it has to be the component of eternity in every part of you. Anyway.
It's almost like saying that the chemical structure of your flesh changes or is influenced by something spirit.
Well, I'm not sure the flesh changes, but well, let's read the rest of these about the light.
I guess Gary is saying that there really is a transformation.
Well, that's where the transfiguration is. He alone has immortality. And that mystery of transfiguration, you remember, it comes by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So everything is about the renewal of your mind. But the renewal of your mind is defined elsewhere as empty.
And you also talked about him being with you and you being in him, about this divine exchange.
All right.
Talk about.
Verse 14 of Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And again we have this let. Let your light light shine. All right, now let's go to did we just go to Proverbs?
Haven't been there in a while.
We went to 2 Samuel, but did we? Just
we
now?
We did not go to Proverbs.
Okay, go to Proverbs 4. I just realized when I was sitting outside and when I came in here that light is the same, comes from the same place as the oracle and salt. So that's why we're studying this. All right, how come I can't find Proverbs? Found Proverbs. Start in verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked one, and go not in the way of evil. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So the perfect day, obviously, is the day of the Lord. And for us, that day of the Lord is here. Amen?
Yeah, it's not a 24-hour day.
No.
It's a whole other.
It's the day, it's the Sabbath. It's the full meaning of the Sabbath, where we have ceased from our own labors. So the Sabbath isn't a day of the week, it's a person. And the light is a person. And the salt is a person. And the oracle is a person. Amen? All right, let's go to John 15. Well, this is kind of an obtuse reference to light, but starting verse 8 through 10. Either the, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she
Did
find
you say
it?
John 15, 10?
John 15, 8 through verse 10.
We're not there either. That's not
there
it
only.
Oh, man. I should have stayed in bed.
Well, these mistakes are adding up here.
What?
These mistakes are adding up.
I know.
We had two this morning.
You know, there's one thing that says, "Make don't you make a man stumble for a word." Well, I'm stumbling for many words this morning.
But we will not judge you.
Well, as I told you, I did this very rapidly this morning, so we'll have to I forget to John
table
15.
That. Table huh? that one.
Table that one. Table it until I find out why I wrote it down wrong. Oh, wait a minute. I just maybe I figured out. No.
Just tell us where you are. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
I just continue to be at the wrong place. It's not there either. All right, let's go to, forget John 15 for a while. Let's go to Philippians 2. I'm sorry. I just, you saw me writing fast a little while ago. I didn't write correctly. Let's try one more. I'm sorry, Pete. 1 Corinthians 14. If not, we'll do this. We'll do a bad summary. What did I say? 1 Corinthians 14?
2. 1 Corinthians 14.
Why about here? 1 Corinthians 2.
14.
All right. 14. 14 it is.
Okay, we're gonna forget light until we study it Monday. But I get them all. I don't know what this dog's doing. The critical issue of all this is that whether it be the light, whether it be the oracle, whether it be the salt, it all, and probably others that we don't see yet, that those are all the fruit of the in Christ position. And they are, as we've talked about many times, positional. It's that location of sphere. You can talk about it saying, I can make a statement that I am the light of the world because it says so in the Bible. But that's not what this means. It happens when the repentance is complete and the life of Christ is living in you. And it's open and manifest. Now what this does, the thing that comes with this, light, salt, oracle, is boldness. And along with boldness is zeal. So let's look at boldness and see if we can see how those all fit together. Okay?
You know, the one word that jumped out when you said bold is authority, which you have authority. There is boldness, not because you're bold.
Right, it's the fruit.
But yeah, it's just the, that's what it is.
Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2, I hope. We go to Ephesians 2 a lot. Before we go to Ephesians 2, let's go to Hebrews 4, and then we'll come back to Ephesians 2. Okay? I'm sorry.
Where are we going?
Going to Hebrews 4. This is bad on people who are taking notes, Pete. I'm sorry. And this is all, remember, all of Hebrews 3. And the first half of Hebrews 4 is all about entering the rest, ceasing from your own labors. And it talks, it says, oh, you know, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the wilderness. I've sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest. God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So it's all about, wherefore, it's again, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, harden not your hearts. Exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, that you would enter the rest. And it goes on and on and on and on. So, and then start verse 14 of Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why do you have that boldness? Because you know who you are. And you go through a new and living way. The veil was rent. The veil was his flesh. And so now we go into the Holy of Holies because he rent the veil by a new and living way. We have access to the oracle, to the light, to the salt.
Because we are in him.
But the question is, are we in him? Remember, everybody, we can say with authority that Christ is in everybody. That's what happened in Pentecost. And because he is in you, you have the power to be called or to... Well, let's go to Colossians and look at that real quick. If, verse 23 of Colossians 1, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and that was preached, that which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not the glory yet, it's the hope of glory. And it's the end result of sanctification. You can't say it's you're in him without being in him. Amen?
Yeah. You can't say you're in him if you're not
in him. If you're not in him.
Can you say it?
Well, I mean, that's not part of the question. I knew I couldn't say it until I had experienced being in him. And that produced the zeal, the ardor, the knowledge, everything. I had a taste of it at conversion. But when repentance was complete, then for the most part, I'm in him. I get sucked away periodically because some idiotic thing of my mind. But it's the total abandonment of self. Nothing in the world is attractive. It's that whole, you cease from your own labors totally and completely.
I've never heard you say repentance is complete before. I always felt that was almost never ending.
Well, if you're attracted back to something in the world, that you give importance to, then there's again repentance is necessary.
Okay.
If you build again the things that you destroyed at conversion, then repentance is necessary. I mean, that's what the preaching of the cross is. If you can say all these things, and that's what people like Copeland do, but they're really trying to use sorcery to get to that place. Instead of repentance, they're full of themselves, and then they say, "Okay, now, you know, whatever." But there's no repentance. But the evidence of what we've talked about here is all about let your speech be seasoned with salt. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is the preaching of the cross. It comes against your daily activities. So that repentance has to be the only thing that you can see, because otherwise you're going to just continue doing what you're doing and believing that you're there because something here says it. You fulfill, you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind that you may put to the test or prove that good and perfect will of God, which is already in you. But you're put to the test just as he was. That's what it means to continue with him in his temptation, no longer yours. There's nothing to do with you anymore. And so that's why with the Lord's Prayer, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want what? Want things to be different, want more than you have, whatever it is. But this is not the milk of the word, this is strong meat. Anybody have any other response?
Yeah,
like he had.
But he fulfilled the way. You didn't.
Well, I'm dead. And it's not my life that's on the table. It's his life on the table. So I'm either dead or I'm not dead.
Well,
now, if you want
the evil one, again, we're back to the same thing, Gary. The evil one is the default position of your mind. That's why the mind becomes your mortal enemy. It becomes the evil one. And if you don't think that your mind is the evil one, then you're going to continue your going on the path just like every other Gentile does. You're following the way of the world. You're following the prince of the power of the air. But you put Jesus' name on it.
Well, at some point you reckon yourself dead and you're crucified with him. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by his faith.
Right.
So at some point that's true, or it's never.
It's always true in him. It's always true when you're gone. You're not gone just because it says you're dead. You're dead when you're dead. When you stop using this evil one for the sustenance of your life. You're not dead because it says you're dead. You're dead because you're dead. You're buried in baptism and there's no more you in picture. But the evil one is constantly trying to convince you that you're there already. So there's no repentance. You say that's God's business. So you don't bring every thought into captivity because you're saying that's Jesus doing it.
I say there is repentance. Absolutely.
But not to the depth that's necessary.
Well, yeah, there's depth that's necessary, or there wouldn't be. The depth that's necessary is based on what you see, what is there before you.
We don't need to go through this all the time, but the four stages that you're in. You're either a child, which means you're in the world, still doing world stuff, and your sins are forgiven. That's fine. And you're trying to live by following the words, and you always fail. And finally, you finally understand baptism, you enter in, and you see your death, at least for a moment, and then you're in the wilderness. And that's like in the position of a teenager, because nothing helps you in the wilderness. It's a place of no options. And so you're, all the time, Egypt did it over and over there, they go back to Egypt. And finally, they get to Kadesh Barnea, and they think that's the promised land. They spent 39 years there. Nobody entered except two. Joshua and Caleb. That everyone else that was born in the world died in the wilderness. And the way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And that's a parable for how narrow the way is getting. So at some point, you have to let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be also in you. You have to let the light shine. And that means you're gone. Not, I'm gone because the scripture says it is. Why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it comes against that falsehood, and that's what produces the repentance. But it's a path that gets narrower and narrower each breath we take. Well, can any be saved? Only Christ. He alone has immortality. Only that which came from heaven can return to heaven. And he alone came from heaven. Now, Christ in us, each one of us then are the cell, the potential cell of the body of Christ, which is the bride, the body belonging to Christ. That's the highest that we can be. But it's it comes against everything in the world. Every possible idea, every plan, everything, until there is a total abandonment of self. And that's what the preaching of the cross does, supposedly.
Amen?
Yeah. All right, take it, big guy.